Welcome to Redemption Metagaming with your hosts, Alex and Westy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Redemption Metagaming. I'm Alex, and I'm here with Westy again for our new feature show on landofredemption.com. Today, I think we're going to talk about two issues that have been blowing up on the forums. One of them even has had to get moderated into the quarantine section of the board. It's been full of hot opinions, hot takes. So, you know, as usual, we're just going to weigh in with our opinions. I haven't posted really on either of them because I hate typing. And also, I sort of forget about I'll, like, read the replies on my phone and then forget to post when I get to my computer. But, yeah. I think we're going to start with what exactly does overpowered mean for Redemption? There was some discussion. Gabe wrote an article on Land of Redemption about Angel Under the Oak. And I don't remember if he specifically called it overpowered, but that was definitely the gist of the article, is that the card is pretty insane and is shaping our meta in potentially an unhealthy way.
And one of the big points that were made. I mean, Gabe's article is really about drawing in general, and Otto is the focal point for that article, as I recall. And so there's been a lot of discussion on, you know, is Angel Under the Oak overpowered, and drawing in general, is that overpowered? So to touch on Angel Under the Oak,
So why don't we start with just Angel Under the Oak? Do you think that it's an overpowered card? Is it why is it so heavily played? Like, the point was made that it hasn't been in any Type 1 2-player national championship decks, I believe it was. What about this card controversial?
Like, let's look at all the abilities that are included in it. It is a draw card.
It'd be hard.
There's too many. It's a draw card. You get to draw two cards, so it cycles itself. It tutors something. You can search out a judge. So it is also a support card and has support for it. You can grab, like... Yeah, yeah. You can recur a judge from the discard pile, or you can search, like, one out from the draw pile. It protects Gideons from opponents straight up, which is an absurd enough ability, I might add.
Yeah, very good. Can't be negated.
And it cannot be negated. And not to mention, I believe that when you're talking about... When you're looking at cards, you have to look at the cards that support it, and because Angel Under the Oak is a prophet, it also gets the boost of things like Simeon, because it's an angel, it gets the boost of things like Jacob.
That is
Thanks to Alec. Otto is now a prophet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just does so much. It supports it. And Otto, in general, doesn't technically make the rescues, but it is a pivotal part of a deck in order to make rescues.
Sure. So
I don't know. Those are my thoughts. It just does way too much.
It does. I would agree that I definitely think it does too much different stuff. But then on top of that, like my problem with the card isn't that it's too good. It's that there's no way to combat the card.
I agree.
Exchange as an ability is almost completely uncounterable. There's no cards that really to do anything about it. And since
if you stop the searching, like Nazareth will stop it from tutoring something from deck.
But like the thing is, like even when like there's nothing that hard counters this card in any way, because there's so many abilities. Even whenever I stop the search, but okay, I can still recur if I need to. I can still switch in my territory to Gideon. If you just, like, eliminated the ability to switch to territory in hand, much, much easier to deal with. Then it only happens once.
Well, you look at Angel with a Secret Name, which is a much better balanced card, because that cannot exchange the territory.
It also can't draw.
It also doesn't draw, and it doesn't protect Gideon from opponents.
It makes the judge itself cannot be negated, though, which is kind of cool.
That's comparable, I feel, to the Gideon.
Right, exactly.
I feel you could definitely have the draw ability, and it would still get widely played.
Yeah. But if it was just draw two, exchange for...
Also, on your point about counters, I don't necessarily think that because a card lacks counters, it's overpowered. Like, it's very difficult to stop, yes, but regardless of whether you could stop it or not, it would still be a ridiculous card because you get that on turn one. If they don't get their counters, you're just going to run all over them anyway.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I think that... This is going to speak to a broader point about redemption itself, where, like, whenever you draw certain cards on the first turn of the game, because redemption is a game that you only play single copies of cards in type 1, it's just going to be inherently hard to stop certain starts, because you probably only have, like, maybe two or three counters in the deck.
Right. I mean, there's so much space you can shove counter cards into. You know?
Exactly.
Like, usually that's the last thing you put into your deck, is the Covenant with Death and the Darius's Decree.
Right, because
the Household Items.
It's hard to build a deck starting with a lot of those cards. Because then, like, that inherently is limiting what you can really do with the deck itself and with your ability to win the game. I think it's an example of the playtesters trying to kickstart a theme and not really thinking about the ramifications of, like, what the card is. Like, they've had this habit within the last couple sets where, like, they're trying to build up different themes, and, like, people want this variety in decks. But the result of that is that they have to print, like, instead of having a brigade or something build up over, like, 5 or 6 years, they have to accelerate all into one set.
And right.
So there's no way to properly anticipate how the meta is going to adjust for something, like, that drastic.
And... Like, I believe they did that with the early church set as well.
Right.
But,
like, it's not like...
Not going to go into that.
Since, like, Priests on, you've seen a lot of this, I think. Like, it's not like whenever Kings is introduced, like, there's not a lot of, like brand new things. Like, there's not one theme that's just, like, all of a sudden there and, like, shaping what you can and can't play. Whereas, like, if you look at, like, the Disciples set, all of a sudden there's this, like... huge influx of one theme, and like Thaddeus is just like ripping the meta apart, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And, like, if you can't deal with a Thaddeus, you're just gonna lose in competitive play. It's so, like, because of that, like, there's a lot of older cards that just get automatically phased out of play because they don't affect Thaddeus, and they're not worth it anymore. And so I think whenever you drop, like, huge groups of cards like this, all centered around one specific brigade or theme, it just makes it really hard for the meta to be healthy.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Like, I mean, like, we talk about Pokemon because that's what we played as well, but, like, I think we're seeing it right now with Pokemon, where, like, they just dropped a new about a week ago, and there's just one just, like, so absurdly overpowered card that everyone knows is insane. And, like there's and then on top of that, there's a support card that's going to probably be, like, a 2-3 of in every single deck, which is just insane to think about. And, like it's all coming all at once, and it's just going to drastically change everything. Like, I don't know if they've really thought about what that means in the long run.
That's a very good point. Getting back to drawing in general, how do you feel about speed? I mean, I know your thoughts, obviously. But
I think
is Gabe right? Is drawing overpowered?
No.
Well, I shouldn't say is Gabe right, because...
Drawing's not overpowered, it's necessary. And on top, like, the reason people think it's overpowered is because people don't like the randomness of it, which, like, I can totally support that. Like, the randomness of drawing is stupid, and it's really annoying. But, like, given the nature of the game, it's necessary. Like, my problem with it is that there's not a way to build, like, a heavy search-based deck and be successful at all. Like, that's what, like, the game is missing a lot of search, but I think it's sort of too late to worry about that. But I think speed is not only a necessary archetype, but honestly probably the best archetype for the game, simply because games are shorter. Because playing 40-minute
games... We'll get to that.
Yeah, playing 40-minute games every single round is just absolutely miserable. And if I wanted to do that, I would play Type 2. I'm not playing... I'm playing Type 1 for a reason.
You said 40 minutes, not 3 hours.
Not 3 hours. Let's get real. But no, like... There's nothing wrong inherently with speed. People don't like it because of the battle phase. I think the battle phase is stupid, and I don't care about it. So, like, speed is fine to me. Like, I speed's all about using the preparation phase in the best way possible and setting things up so that whenever you get to the battle phase, you know exactly what's going to happen, and you're just sort of, like, going through some motions.
And you're all about the prep.
It's like, I think defensive heavy is the same way, where, like, you're about just, like...
I agree.
You're setting up the game to proceed in such a way that you know what's going to happen before it happens, and so you always have a counter. And then balance decks are designed to push the game into the battle phase, and then in the battle phase, you always have a little bit more than the other person. Because the theory being, like, you're gonna draw... If you have an average draw... given your hand, at any time, you should have more. You'll have more offense than a speed player has defense. You'll have more defense than a defensive heavy player has offense, is what I would understand balance. Like, that's, to me, that's the benefit of balance. I would never play balance myself.
Right. Balance is gross.
Like, you, yeah.
I kind of like how Gabe puts it, of, effective and efficient draw abilities is good for the game, but with too little cost and too big of a reward, we have an unhealthy format.
Yeah, that's to do with
cost. Right, and one of the things that I mentioned on the forums, actually, is that when you put draw abilities on heroes, you can just use them infinitely.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was a really good
point. It's one thing to have a draw two card, interrupt the battle...
Like Miraculous Catch, even. Four Drop McCoy.
Like, nobody
like
plays
that. It's an example.
Four Drop McCoy is good.
Yeah, stuff like that is fine.
That's a much healthier version of drawing than for drawing. Because it's when you start using auto every single turn, you turn your draw three into a draw five.
Exactly.
In you know, just three turns, you've drawn 15 cards, whereas they've only drawn 9. It creates a very lopsided game as far as card advantage goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting back to something you said earlier, and this is... Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, card advantage is just like such a huge deal in Redemption. Just seeing more of your deck is so much more powerful than in most other games. Maybe Magic might be similar, but I know, like, I would almost venture to say, like, almost every time, the person who sees more of their deck sooner will win the game in an average game of Redemption.
That's fair. It's definitely fair. I think part of that is, this is not where I was going to go, but let's go there, is because of dominance. Because if you get the upper hand on dominance, you are in a great position.
I don't even want to go there. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't have an hour to just rave and rant against card design.
That's fair.
We can do a whole special episode on everything that's wrong with dominance.
Maybe we'll get there. Dominance are overpowered. Well, most dominance.
Yeah, like, they're literally the definition of overpowered. They're in 95% to 100% of decks.
Yeah.
Which is basic. Like, if that's not centralizing, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Or you were saying something about a point that I had made originally.
You were talking about how with card advantage, you know how the battle phase is going to play out because you've done your preparation.
Oh.
And I mentioned this briefly on the forums.
The most broken card in the game?
Most broken card in the game is Thumim. Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
Sorrow of Mary, those cards, they're far more broken than any draw card ever is.
Look at your hand abilities are just insane. Nefat is a terrible evil character because it's just like, look at your hand. But Urim and Thummim offers no cost whatsoever. You don't even have to leave it active.
I know,
it has no counters except for, like, cards that protect hand from opponents, which there are a few of, but most say from discard or return abilities and stuff like that, or like Joseph Silver Cup. But basically, it trivializes the game because you know exactly. Well, you know exactly what's in your opponent's hand. You know exactly what's on their field, and as soon as you push out that hero, you can make a pretty good guess what they're going to block with. You can make a pretty good guess what they're going to play.
Not even a pretty good guess. Like I can put cash money on what's going to happen for the next like three or four cards played, which is insane. Like knowing every card that could get played is just such an insane advantage, and I don't understand how this card ever got printed. Especially since you don't have to leave it active. Like if you could destruction it, it's like it can't be negated. Like fine,
right?
But if you could destruction it, like at least it's something. Like there's literally nothing to do against it, except for play terrible cards.
I think I'm gonna add my rant. But it's a skillless card. It's got no counters, and it should be in every single deck. Quite frankly, at least it has a condition of needing a priest. But it is
priests are so ubiquitous. It's a high priest.
It's high priest. It's high priest.
But still, there's like some. There's some insanely good high priests, and it can be
awesome. And it's not hard to fit them in.
Right. There's just a lot of decks that it fits well with. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Be in every single deck.
That's definitely
to touch on other points.
Right.
Sara of Mary has a really good ability attached to that, allowing you to underdeck stuff. Like, Angelic Guidance allows you to search.
What I don't understand is how a dominant and a territory class enhancement got printed with almost the same ability. That's what confuses me.
Vane Philosophy and Sara of Mary?
Yeah, like it's literally the same thing. Like how does that happen?
Yeah.
That means one of them is either too bad or one or too good.
I mean that's not necessarily too I was gonna make a with Angel of the Lord and Christian Martyr. Enhancements that just say discard a character are probably bad. Yeah, right. That's fair. Especially with dominant cap now. It makes those dominants significantly worse, and it's better to play enhancements.
Kinda.
If you can.
It's better to do whatever's the most efficient play to use the least amount of cards.
That's fair. Most often I'd probably play both, actually.
Yeah. But moving forward, I think we have some time limits to talk about. Since we're on the time limit.
Before. You're on a time limit.
Life with a girlfriend.
I'll let you start off on this one.
With time limits?
I wouldn't know.
I'm going to be honest. Sure. I haven't really read the thread very closely.
I haven't either, but I've got a lot of opinions on time limits. So.
Yeah, I can't. I'm like,
because people play way too slowly in this game.
What's gonna happen is we're gonna have like this like little discussion about how everyone plays slowly, and then we're gonna have this digression into the fact that the reason everyone plays slowly is because there's no competitive element to the game, and we're just gonna get back to that. No, that's why.
Like, it's part of it.
Because like the people like there's two reasons to like be okay with people playing with like slow play. One. So that like you can stall out someone, and you like want to have that option, or two, like you don't care that you're preventing the other person from winning the game, and you just want to be able to have fun for yourself. Like to me, slow play is inherently selfish, and like that's a hot take, and people are not gonna like hearing that, but that's just my opinion on it. Because like intentionally slowing the game down only ever benefits you. And like only is it ever you're only ever thinking about yourself. You're like, I need more time to figure it out, or you're like, I need to stall the games because otherwise I can't win. Like there's no rational reason to slow play it because of your opponent, really, if that makes sense. Because like I mean, like even when I'm playing a new player, like I play with the same speed, but I just have to, I explain what's happening. I read the cards, but I'm still making decisions at the same pace.
And against a new player, the game isn't that long anyway because it never gets into the intricacies.
Sure.
There has been discussion of having a timer.
I would never,
doing it.
Even saying that, I would never ever want a timer at the table.
I agree. Because it can go both ways, and I don't think it's possible to enforce it without having a judge standing right there the entire time.
Right, I would agree. And like,
and you can always call a judge over if your opponent's slow playing you.
Yeah.
I mean, the we main can point, though, is it's not about time limits. It's about people playing too slow. Like, timeouts are not a problem.
I disagree with that. Timeouts are definitely a problem. Yeah, it's a deck design problem.
How so?
People are playing decks.
Like
people are playing decks that are too slow. And people feel like,
well, that's their fault.
And also people feel like that any deck that they build should be able to like should be allowed to be competitive in the like in the tournament format. If that makes sense.
So but now like, we're going into competition again.
Well, right, but like this is the argument that's used though. Like whenever you have like an argument about especially like defensive heavy decks, like people complain that like the tournament structure isn't set up to benefit them. Like I remember Chris arguing this about like he wanted to make it so the timeout wins were 2 points. It was somehow changing the point system, and it was it was essentially benefiting a timeout winner to make defensive heavy decks more likely to win a tournament. Is essentially what it came down to. Just because you built a deck does not mean it should get a competitive advantage or like it should be catered to in any way. Like I understand that people think that like, oh, like it's stupid that I have to build a speed deck to win a tournament. I understand that, but at the same time, like the fixing of that problem, if it's even a problem, is not like, oh, we have to change it so that literally any deck can win.
And I played a defensive heavy deck in a tournament, and
so have I. Like, and I've done well with them.
Same. Like, you just have to increase your speed of play and make sure that your opponents aren't slow rolling you. And yes, it's a lot harder to play against one, but I mean, it shouldn't slow down.
I don't think it's harder to play against it. I think just people don't know how to because they don't have to.
That's fair.
Like, that's the problem. Like, it's like, if you play a deck that no one's ever tested against in any significant way, then like they have to figure out what they're playing on the fly. And then since Redemption doesn't really care about how fast you play your turns, it turns into just like staring at cards for 3 minutes straight every turn.
Yeah. There's definitely been a push towards slower games and bigger decks.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason the last defensive heavy deck, the last lock deck I played was 56 cards. And had her and gifts and things like that in it. It was still a lock deck that was defensive heavy. It was like, I recognized that the meta was not going to support playing a real lock. And playing like, okay, like I'm just going to sit here until the end of the game, and then I'm going to win. You have to be able to rescue constantly. You need to keep the pace up if you don't want to time out.
I feel like people expect to deck out every single game.
If I deck out every single game,
so
it's terrible.
When they aren't,
I hate that.
Yeah, not necessarily game, but get access to their resources. Maybe is a better way of putting it.
I think they like want, most people want.
Everybody wants to play Son of God.
Right, exactly. Or it's not a fair game if I play Son of God.
And if you're playing, right. But the fact of the matter is, your deck is slower, mine is not. I'm going to play Son of God, and if you can't keep pace.
Right.
You are going to miss out on it. It's not a, problem. First off,
like I know a lot of the meta has supposedly shifted to balanced decks, but my argument would be I don't think balanced decks are better. I think that speed decks aren't adapting based on what I've seen. Like they aren't recognizing what they have to do to win games. Like the deck design of a speed deck has to change right now with the way that the meta's set up. And with the way the rules have changed to sort of like, I guess like nerf speed a little bit is the easiest way to say it. Like things like the Son of God change or the Dominant Cap, like ultimately they affect speed the most, I think.
And I so, can get behind that.
I definitely, like, I have no doubt in my mind that speed is the best version of a Redemption deck for a tournament. And I even have
my idea of how I should build it for a tournament. I just don't go to tournaments.
That's because there aren't any.
But like, it honestly baffles
that are worth going to.
It honestly baffles me that people play balanced decks right now. Like, defense is really, really good, for sure. I've always been behind that. But, like, it feels like people just aren't adapting to new speed. And, like, we have all the tools we need.
Balanced, though. I would like to specify that, because when Martin won last time it was in Tennessee, he did so with a balanced deck, but...
It wasn't balanced.
The defense was there to draw and make one or two blocks. But technically, it's just that, people of the battle phase.
Like, the reason people say they don't play speed is because they're like, oh, like, what if they don't draw Lost Souls?
But you have Lost Soul Generation.
Like, there's literally so much you can do about that, and people just are not changing their decks. They're like, oh, like, I just want to draw my deck as fast as I can. Well, no, I want to make sure that they draw their deck as well, and that they get souls out. And there's several ways to do that, but people just refuse to make it work.
I agree. But it has nothing to do with time limits.
No, it has nothing to do with, like,
people just basically need, like, to adapt,
like,
to
it. From what I understand, it mostly comes down to turn timers in that case, which, like, turn timers are stupid. I've never seen time limits get enforced in a good way in any game I've ever played. I don't think
there is a good way.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that what it comes down to is just respecting the game and respecting the other players enough to not take forever and not to, like, potentially slow the game.
Yeah,
like, an unhealthy,
because it is selfish.
And it's just not fun for anyone.
And I understand that sometimes you need a little bit longer to think things through.
I'm willing to use that leeway on certain turns, and, like, I see things like that. But, like, when it's consistent is when I have a problem with it.
Right. Like, it shouldn't affect the overall time of the game. Like, there's going to be a few moments where you're going to take 15 seconds before you play the next card. But that shouldn't, in the big scheme of things, impact things unless you're consistently slow playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, also I would say that, like, if you can't play certain styles of decks because you play too slowly with them, then, like, you need to work on your pace of play.
That's fair.
If you don't think that you can take a defensive heavy deck, for example, into a tournament and, like, not time out, you need to play faster. That's always going to be the test. Because, like, if you can time out with some of those decks...
I played a 70-card deck, and I would deck out every single game.
Exactly.
And I would not... I would beat the time limit more often than not.
Exactly.
I had one tie, and that was because I got sidewalked.
Right, sometimes that happens.
Or one timeout.
Right, you know.
But one final thing to consider is that this is all talking about Type 1, and... The original discussion was started between Type 2 players, and I think time is definitely a bigger issue in Type 2 than it is in Type 1.
And why?
But that has to do with balance of the game more than anything.
Yeah. Has to do with the fact that people play defense and make the game more unfun.
And the fact of the matter is they've been boosting defensive levels, and in time.
I'm pretty confident Type 2 is, like, just a virtually untested format, at least in playtesting. Like, no matter what they tell me, I don't believe that they test Type 2.
Which is odd,
There's no way they could possibly be playtesting this format with some of the things that have been happening in Type 2. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, they really need to... I think if you're going to have multiple types, you need a ban list, but that's an argument for another day.
Yeah, I would agree. I would love to
ban. And there's nothing wrong with it, because you aren't... Yeah, like... I don't feel like banning has any drawbacks if the card is still playable in some form.
Sure. I would like to publicly...
Like, ban A and B in Type 2, and all of a sudden, all of your problems go away.
Yeah. I would just like to publicly advocate that I'd just be allowed to ban 5 cards from type 1. I guarantee the game would be better. And one of them
number one, Son of God.
A New Beginning would not be one of them. No, Son of God probably wouldn't even be one of them.
Yeah. New Jerusalem?
I would ban Urim and Thummim. I would ban New Jerusalem.
Yes.
I would ban Falling Away.
Okay.
Is that three or four?
Sure.
Is that
three?
I would probably ban the Garden Tomb, but like
I'll put that. As
that's like a. It's very. Maybe. That's probably a, like a very maybe, and then I would probably ban Christian Martyr.
Really. I think that your first three are very good bands. I'm surprised Otto got beat out a little bit because, again, Otto just does so much.
I could see banning Otto, but like, I would much rather ban cards that are like much more ubiquitous into the format. And like, I know the argument is that like other cards are going to replace them. Like, whatever, sure, I understand that. I think Otto is a card that can be fixed with counterprinting. And I also, like, ultimately, I don't think it's really that damaging in the format. Like, I would... Like, Otto to Gideon, for example, is only good because Gideon can play, like, three or four, like, super incredible enhancements. If Gideon sucked, it wouldn't matter. Like, if he was in a terrible brigade, like, it would not matter that he can protect Gideon. Like, a 6-6 protected with this ability is not good. What's good is the fact that it can play Edict, and that also can't be negated.
Right, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Right,
and like normally Edict is somewhat okay, and it's really not, like, but we'll say it is, because you can then like writ them, or Christian Martyr them, or respond through other means. But against Gideon, he just ignores all that.
I mean, like, I think it's clear that, like, Falling Away, Urim and Thummim, and New Jerusalem are obvious bans to me.
I agree.
For Type 1. And then, like, after that, we would have to start having, like, a discussion about what exactly we are and aren't banning. I could see, like, Otto would probably be in the discussion. Joseph is really good. I could see him getting banned. Garden Tomb, like I said. Christian Martyr and Angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you ban one...
I think it's less so now that they have Shipwreck.
Shipwreck is... whatever. What else? I could honestly see Nazareth getting banned.
Maybe in Type 2.
Even in Type
2. I don't think in Type 1.
The search ability thing is too good. It's too good on a site.
Yeah. I don't like that... We have cards to counter consistency.
Yeah.
Like, that automatically makes the game unhealthy. And you can argue that, like, too much speed makes the game unhealthy, which is true, but not being able to use your speed to get to the resources you need also makes it unhealthy.
Right. Like, not being able to play the game, like, to get cards to counter the opponent, basically. Or to execute your strategy.
And I think that's, in part, including this into the topic at hand, is overpowered. Like, Nazareth can completely cripple your opponent's setup, and that's just absurd. And it's very hard to get rid of.
It's a pretty unfun game whenever you can't do what your deck is designed to do because Nazareth exists. I don't know, like, you can argue about the, stuff like a New Beginning combos being not fun, and like it counters that, and like that's cool, but it also took a lot of other stuff with it when it countered those cards.
Right.
Like, it's like, instead of cutting out like two strategies, we cut out like eight with one card. You know, whatever it ends up being or looking like.
Is there anything else we really need to touch on?
No, I think that that concludes what we have for today. I think it's been a little bit too long since our last one, but that's probably going to continue. I can tell, like,
yeah, I have secondary
life update. Like, I started dating a girl, and then also the Chick-fil-A I'm at just fired the position that the person who's on the same level as I am. So basically now I'm going to be doing two jobs for like 2 or 3 weeks and potentially forever. Like, I don't know. So work's real up in the air, and I don't know how much time I'm going to have between that and, you know, girlfriend and life. So I'll try. I promise. I've already done better. Like, I've already read more redemption cards in the last 2 weeks than I've had in, like, the past 2 years. So that's an improvement.
I'm so proud of you.
I am too. So we're getting better at this. And maybe one day this will be consistent.
Yeah, and I'm just busy because I work 35 hours a week, and I go to my internship from 12 to 15 hours a week, and I have full-time school. 16 credits.
Oh.
Yay.
That's life. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to bringing you more content and having you listen to our voices some more.
Thanks.
Redemption Metagaming is brought to you by Land of Redemption and Three Lions Gaming. Visit ThreeLionsGaming.com for all of your redemption needs.
So, Urim and Thummim, worst card in the game. The end.
That's, yep.